Spirit Radio Podcasts.
So for those of you who have been working at home for more than a year now, maybe you had, you know, a really fancy ergonomic chair that you had in work and you've been sitting at a kitchen table, a dining room table, or maybe you had a standing desk and you don't have that anymore at home, or even just getting up and moving to chat to someone at a desk across the room, things that you were doing that were good for your back, or you've fallen out of bad habits. Maybe even working on the couch with a laptop on your lap, or as I have done many an evening, writing articles working from my bed. Of course, this is going to have an impact on our neck or back and all that sort of stuff. So what can we actually do ourselves when we're at home and we don't have a standing desk, or we can't do some of the things that we did in our offices? On the line to give us the do's and don'ts in looking after our backs to prevent injury, we have Peter Mulryan, who's chartered physiotherapist at Adelaide Physio in Dublin. Peter, thanks for joining us.
No problem, Wendy. Thanks for having me on.
So have you found now through your own work, Peter, that you're getting more people getting in touch who are having issues with their back and neck because of working from home and not looking after themselves as well?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a huge spike in people coming in with neck and back pain. The other side of it as well is people coming in with running injuries because they've decided the gyms are closed, what else can I do for the sake of running? But yeah, people's posture and stuff at home is really taking a hit. As you said there in the intro, working from your bed, working from your couch, on laptops as opposed to not having screens, has really taken a toll on people over the last 12 months. Yeah, in the early days, I think people just kind of put up with it, said, be grand, I'll get moving. And we were very blessed in one sense that the first lockdown was in the summer, so people were happy to get outside more. But then when we kicked into winter, you know, it was miserable and cold outside. People were less reluctant to go outside. The knock-on effect is that they just started seizing up and getting back and neck pain, shoulder pain, headaches. And with no access to gym and everything like that, their routines are shot. So they kind of live with it for as long as they can until they eventually go, right, I've got to go see someone about this to make sure there's nothing more serious happening, which is another side. People get worried then, and the stress will bring more tension through the upper back.
And is that a big problem, Peter, you know, where you have a niggle, you know you're not right, and probably now more than ever people put off going to see a physio or kind of getting it checked out?
Yeah, like that has been big. There's a big knock off. Myself personally, I share a clinic with my father, so we invested in an air purification system. But an awful lot of places didn't do that. And with that, patients did, the fear of going into a closed environment where there's a passing body of people every day has certainly stopped people from coming in seeking advice. Now, you do have telehealth and stuff like that provided, which has been very successful. But sometimes, you know, stretching will only get you so far. Getting hands-on treatment is much better for you.
What about the kind of day-in, day-out stuff, Peter, where, as I mentioned earlier, that people that may, for example, have had a standing desk or, a better chair in their office, things that would have helped their back and neck that are kind of gone, what are the things that we can practically do to say, okay, I'm going to try and look after myself as best I can?
Yeah, God, it's a hard one to answer in one sense because everyone's setup is different. Like, I have patients who have fold-out tables and chairs that they put out in their bedroom every day because they've nowhere else to work. So that situation is just terrific in the sense of the level's all going to be wrong. But if you can, you know, at the kitchen table, or the old phone books are gone, but any kind of books to raise your screen up. So ideally you want the top of your screen, be it a laptop or a monitor, to be level with your eyes. And then a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse would be a godsend for an awful lot of people, because if you have to raise your laptop up, it'd be very awkward typing, etc. Then get out and do some movement. You are losing, a lot of people have lost their routine through this, you know, people's commute to work where they had an hour to listen to podcasts or read a book or just stare at the window and look at the world go by, you know, that's all gone. For an awful lot of people, unfortunately. And the Guardian did a survey a long time ago in the early pandemic, and people were up 2 hours a day working, they found, through the UK, USA and Canada, for example. And
so we're sitting more than we were before.
Exactly. And the Irish Times reported an article there where LinkedIn did a survey where people were working 38 hours extra per month. That's over an extra week's work per month sitting there at your computer. So if you knock that back and think of all the activity and time out, socializing, even socializing and walking, that gets you moving. Sitting at your desk for an extra week per month doesn't. So we have to be better to be stricter on our routine at home, to not say, oh, I'll just send this last email before I go. We have to get up and move and do our stretch. There was a great video on YouTube called The Full Speech, and it was about a doctor talking about the connective tissue in the body and how it seizes up through the stages of rigor mortis. But he was talking not in death, in life, where the more sedentary we become, the more rigor mortis type we constriction we get in the body. And he made a very valid example of our animals, our pets, cats and dogs. You know, the first thing they do after they've been sitting for a long time or sleeping is get up and have a big stretch, and then they get on about their business. Whereas we don't as humans. We push us to the last second and then, okay, I've really got to run now, or I've got to get this call. Or, you know, people miss out. I have patients who say they don't leave their desk all day long. They, you know, barely go to the bathroom. You know, the thought of going out and getting a coffee or that little 5-minute walk sometimes is alien to them.
And how often should we be getting up and moving? You know, if you're going to, I don't know, set a little alarm on your phone, or if you've got one of those, you know, fitness trackers to kind of buzz to remind you, how often should we be getting up and even moving for a few minutes?
I would say every half an hour. You know, even go downstairs, just have a little bit of mobility. Just walk around. Even that's going to be beneficial to you. Don't walk away with your phone in your hands. You're looking at that. Just leave it all at the desk and walk away. Every half an hour is a big ask for a lot of people. If you're on a call, for example, that's a good time where you can put the headphones on and you can move around the room if you don't have to be at your screen. And that way you'll get moving. But ideally, yeah, every half an hour or so, get up and have a stretch. You know, in going back to offices, they used to have, and I've gone back to having the big printers at the end of offices, because they found when they brought the personal ones to my desk, people weren't moving anymore. So we even lost that. Getting up and getting the printing from the printer. It's just very important to get up as often as you can, really. But I know and I understand that the pressures of work just don't allow that a lot of the time for people. So even if you can block it into your calendar, you know, instead of having a meeting blocked in, put in personal time where I need this to get up and
Move around. What about things like, you know, being advised to sit on a Pilates ball to kind of get your body moving while you're sitting? Or is there other things we should be sitting on? And what difference does it make, the opposite of sitting, if you do have a standing desk at home?
Yeah, like sitting on the Pilates ball and stuff are very good. They give you a nice little bit of activity. And as your hips move, it's more flexible through the system. So you are getting and engaging your muscles in that sense. The fit of stand desks are great because you get the best of both worlds, but they are very expensive, and a lot of companies just don't have the capital to buy all their employees a fit of stand desk, and then an employee is not going to put the money out of their pocket either. So working at a kitchen counter or something like that where you can stand at the island and then, as I was saying, stack your computer on books or something to get it up higher is one thing you can do. The ergonomic chairs, you know, if you look at your home setup, you've got to think of what you had in work. You know, if you had two monitors on work, you need two monitors at home. And I've heard of an awful lot of people who, when they went in to grab their stuff, only grabbed one of the monitors. So then they're stuck in a situation that they're not used to working in. And that creates more stress because they don't have the visual scope that they would ordinarily have. I guess the home setup is kind of funny because it's limited by everyone. Everyone's limited by what they have. You know, I have one patient who's living in a bed set, and she does work on her bed all day, every day, and that's just not good. But she's stuck in a rut because how does she get out of that?
And maybe it's at the stage, Peter, I don't know what experience you've had with clients, but where depending on who your employer is, I know some friends have told me their employers have actually, you know, they've been able to get their fancy chair from work, or they've given them the funding towards a standing desk if they have a case that shows I need it, you know, a physio saying this person needs it. So are we asking for enough from our employers?
I don't think we are. From the people I'm meeting, I don't know if we are. Employers aren't getting away. Like, they're saving money on running costs of buildings and food and kitchens and camps, you know, all that kind of the extra perks that they have in the office. those companies are definitely saving the money on that. So they should be putting, diverting that money into home setups and helping their staff be better and be more comfortable so that there's no long-standing issues. But we're not. I think, I don't know if it's an Irish thing, we just don't ask. We don't put our hand up and say, I need this now. And if you do make noise, I have plenty of patients who have asked and have received what they wanted. But it also goes back to, do I have the room for a sit stand up and an ergonomic chair? Because they are big pieces of furniture, and an awful lot of people don't. So employers, you know, there's some really good employers out there, don't get me wrong, who are doing exercise classes and mobility classes, and their staff can sign up to them. And that's working really well for them. But not everyone can provide that because the size of the firm will dictate what they can do.
And what do you do, Peter, for example? I know my husband, who's had serious back issues, you know, his physio's advice was swimming was the best thing. But of course, pools have been closed for a long time. What are the alternatives to things like swimming? You mentioned earlier that sometimes people go out kind of road running, that can be hard on your back. What's the best exercise for someone who has a back issue to just make sure they're moving but not actually putting themselves at risk?
Cycling would be very good in that sense. You know, even road cycling is fine. And if you were in a position where you were able to buy a bike for home, that would be great. But then with a bad back, a lot of it comes down to muscle tightness and muscle function and how the muscles are recruiting. So mobility can be really, really beneficial, like yoga. There's so many apps and programs that people even offering free yoga classes online that you can just log on and do a good stretching session. So like your connective tissue really enjoys and likes long, long hold stretches. So by doing the likes of yoga at home, you would get huge relief through the tension of your back. Because if you ask the majority of the population how long they hold a stretch for, if they even do them at all, they'd say 10, 15 seconds. And really, you need to be doing them for 30, 40 seconds minimum before you get a good benefit from the connective tissue. So from a home, going back to your question, what can you do at home? You're very limited because, again, room, cost of equipment and stuff like that. But there's so many, as I say, online free, access to free yoga, Pilates classes, even though so many gym instructors doing their online classes, like the Joe Wicks over in the UK, which works really well for a huge percentage of the population.
I found Joe pretty good as well, but I suppose would the advice be, Peter, if you have specific issues, you probably need, even if it's on Zoom, you know, one-to-one kind of care to start off with to make sure that you're not doing the moves wrong or using weights that are too heavy or whatever the case may be.
Definitely. If you have any issues like that, the best thing is to book on for telehealth. And the insurance companies have been great. They've endorsed telehealth and they're covering the sessions and even providing their own through the members. But yeah, for someone to have a look at what you're doing and how you're moving, it would be very beneficial. The likes, we've mentioned Joe Wicks, you know, I found he wasn't doing a big enough warm-up for people. And then people are trying to keep up with his fitness level, even though they may not be anywhere near it. And there was injuries coming from that as well.
Yes, so you have to be careful who you're watching and all that sort of stuff. Great advice,
exactly.
Peter. Thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. That is Chartered Physiotherapist at Adelaide Physio in Dublin, Peter Mulryan. If you want to find out more about his work, you can go to adelaidephysio.ie.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.